Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Achtung Millwall supports the Lions Food Hub. This is a friendly local food hub. It's based in Bermondsey. It's run by our very own Kelly Webster of the Millwall Lionesses, a very well-known Millwall fan. They do need supplies, dear listeners. Before we get into the show today, they have posted they need tinned meat, they need toiletries, they need soup, they need tinned fruit and veg. If you can help in any way, they are on Twitter at Lions Food Hub. DM them. You can DM me at Achtung Millwall and I'll pass on any help and information that we can. Lions Food Hub, at Lions Food Hub. Thank you for listening. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Achtung Millwall, broadcasting from the beautiful South Birmingham. Accept no substitute.
Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to Achtung Millwall. My name is still Nick Hart. It is a real pleasure still to be here. Joining me on this Midsummer Madness edition are my three compadres, Radio 5 Lives, Aaron Paul, Rising Star. How are you, Aaron?
Rising Star, flipping, oh man, that's been a bit...
At what point do you become a star then? Are you either a rising star or you are maybe you're a star now?
I'm in the wilderness in between. I'm in the wilderness between sort of star and celebrity Big Brother and celebrity The Chase and stuff like that.
You'll be on Love Island soon, mate. You know,
can't be doing none of that, Nick. Good to have you back, pal.
Thank you very much.
Gaffer back. I was very, very worried as to who was going to be steering the good ship Achtung this season. glad you're back at the helm, pal.
It's nice to be here. Joining us is our Wembley correspondent, it's Mr. Mike Hayden. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Thank you, Nick. Hello, listeners. Yeah, I might be still a little bit croaky from Tuesday. Not a lot to shout about at the game itself, but you know, we had a little sing song, of course, which is very nice. So, good to have you back, Nick.
Just a few cans of the occasional, own brand lager, I'd say.
That's correct.
Yeah,
many beers were drunk.
Great stuff. Joining us also all the way from a secret location in Essex, is Mr. Harold Warren. How are you doing, H?
I'm doing well, mate. Good to hear your voice again. I thought me and Aaron were having kittens deciding on the right tone to make a Twitter announcement. It's very weird. This was like the most professional, unprofessional thing that I'd done. It was the most professional thing Achtung had done since a certain show on a radio station that no longer exists. So it was good to have you back, mate.
Thank you very much.
The thing is, Nick, is obviously with the organisation I work for, it was tempted to start it with, "This is London." That's a bit too official, you know, a little bit too official. You've got to judge the tone, pal. You've got to judge.
I was going to get them put in a request to have that guy that used to do all the royal occasions back in the 70s. And now we have the house band of the Rusum Royals.
Get the right voice. Mr. Hart is being carried from the surgery room into the cardiac ward of salads and darts. And he's comfortable. Thank you, boys. I want to start, if you'll indulge me, gentlemen. I just want to say a few thank yous. Got a few thank yous I want to say. Listeners may know, may not know, I had a bit of trouble, as Frank Spencer might have put it once upon a time. A little bit of trouble of the heart variety, H-E-A-R-T. I need to say a few thank yous because, we're joking about it, and it's light in retrospect because you can laugh about it. from a clear blue sky, listeners, I did suffer a major heart attack unexpectedly about 2.5 weeks ago. But for the swift and fast thinking of my wife, who called the ambulance, would have been in the face of my own objections. I would have said, give me 10 minutes, let me calm down. But she called an ambulance, which effectively saved my life, because I think if there'd been any delay with a major 100% blockage of your main artery, I think there's only one outcome for that in general. So I want to say thank you to Mrs. Hart, because I think that that was the first step in a few crucial moments that did save my life. I want to say thank you to Justin, the paramedic, who I think he professionally lied to me and told me I was going to be okay when it was actually a lot more touch and go than he was letting on. And I clung on to those words all the way through the whole process. I need to say thank you to St. Bart's Hospital, the emergency team, and all of the NHS staff, because my experience, they were world class. They also combined to save my life. And I'm still here to talk to you all, dear listeners. I want to say thank you also to everyone, listeners, social media. There was a thread on the House of Fun. I've had emails, text messages, phone calls. I've had all sorts of messages, get well soon messages and best wishes. Stuff that really takes your breath away, listeners. I mean, I'm not used to this kind of contact, I suppose. I don't know how to put it, but it really did. It cheered me up, it's raised my spirits, and it also took my breath away a little bit. So I want to say thank you to each and everyone. There are too many people to name individually. I also want to say thank you to the boys on this show, because they organized some of this stuff, and it had the right impact. In moments where you need a bit of a lift, there it was. So I want to say thank you to everyone on here, everyone I'm looking at the moment on the screen. Also Ryan and Michael, who're not here with us today. Thank you to you all, listeners, and everyone that sent me the best wishes. It was a close run thing, as the Duke of Wellington said at the Battle of Waterloo, but we came out the other side of it. Gentlemen, today is Midsummer Madness. It's fixture announcement day, a day that I find irrationally exciting. And I've always wondered why do I find it so exciting? Because you kind of know who you're going to get. It's just the order in which they come. Queen's Park Rangers is our opening day fixture away. How are we all feeling about the prospect of the new season? Are we looking forward to it? And does fixture release day excite you like it excites me? What about you, Mike? Does fixture release day get your juices flowing?
Yeah, I think so, especially as hopefully everything will start to return to normal. And, you know, let's hope we can actually go to QPR as well on the 7th of August. I think it does a lot. And I think it's nice to be able to plan the away trips this season. You know, we're going to be back. We're going to be there, which is fantastic. So there's a few that, you know, I've always fancied Blackpool. You know, I've never been. So that's quite a fun trip, apparently, for all those that like a beer and a Big Dipper. I was looking at that one as a possible. But, yeah, I think it's pretty exciting. And there's a few there that are, you know, quite big games. You know, you've got West Brom and Fulham coming back down. So hopefully get to Craven Cottage again. So, yeah, it's starting to sort of plan the year, I think, around football. My girlfriend's happy about that.
If I could... this sort of real inject some EFL anti-Mill shithousery in there. You go down to bank holiday weekend in August and see Blackpool and you're like, oh, everyone's like, Blackpool, great, yeah.
I think the EFL and Millwall work on these things. They don't want a mob of Millwall fans in Blackpool on a bank holiday weekend, Harry, do they? We know what we're talking about.
4,000 Millwall.
I'm sure the last few times it's actually when we play them in League One on a Tuesday to stop that from happening. But it is on a Saturday, 22nd of January, so a nice rainy trip to
Blackpool
the northeast.
In January. Is there a more bleak away day in the whole year? That's like having the South End on New Year's Day. It's like everything's shut up down at the coast.
Yeah, I suppose South End is the equivalent, Harry. I mean, I've never been to Blackpool. It's one of those places I've never been there, you know. So as Mike says, it's going to be an interesting away day, even in January, I suppose. It's a bit like South End on a dull winter's day, isn't it? You know, looking forward to it. You looking forward to the new season, Ash?
I am. It'd be nice just to get back. They've deserved. I mean, they've got thumped a couple of times last season, which they deserve some abuse for. So they've got a bit sort of sitting in the back of the tank. But yeah, I mean, I'm a lot better after sort of some jumping the gun. I'm a lot better after yesterday seeing what I saw. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to it. We still need players. And this Euro scouting that we've been doing, I find that our Euro scouting will be somewhere along the lines of we're looking at Finland and Hungary rather than Italy and Belgium.
I think our overseas signings are coming from the Isle of Sheppey or Canvey or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Isle of Man.
Oh dear, that brings us neatly onto the next part of the agenda, Aaron. I mean, Millwall's. I mean, I've actually seen more transfer signing release videos from Dartford than I have from Millwall. I'm hoping they're going to liven it up soon.
Do you know what? I met someone yesterday. I wanted to give him a shout out. His name's Jimmy. He's a London taxi driver. He took me from the BBC to the embassy of El Salvador yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's not because I'm looking for a visa or to claim asylum. But it's because my car was parked outside it. Yeah. Basically, Jimmy told me, because you know he was surprised to talk about football, and I said, you know, next year the Euros is coming in, guys. If you drive a pre-15 diesel, every time you go to the den, you're gonna be charged £12.50. So get that sort of because Sadiq can't. Anyway, we was talking about, and I go, you know, when I go to Millwall, it's gonna cause me problems. And he goes, you got a Millwall? And I go, well, yeah, you know, like work and
the odd
special occasion, you know, make an appearance in HMPRS. And he goes, I'm a Millwall fan. He goes, I haven't been in years. And he hasn't been since the second game at the Den in 92.
Right.
And I asked him why. And he said he could never leave the old Den. Like the experience was just quite sad for him.
Right.
He's 65. And so I said to him, Jimmy, tune into our podcast and we'll give you a shout out. But I want to say this to you, Jimmy. Say this to you. I will pay for a match ticket next season. Wherever you want to sit, it's on me. The game's on me. Because I want to treat you to the sight of John Daddy Bodvarsson fucking it up again. Again! And just everyone, just a full den just going mental. Purely because Bodvarsson's goal record of one goal every lunar eclipse. You know, just pissing everyone off again. But Jimmy, fancy a game next season, mate. It's on me.
That's a big shout out to Jimmy. You're more than welcome, mate. And I get Jimmy's emotional attachment to Cold Blow Lane. I get it. I used to go there myself. I think the new den, Jimmy, if you're listening, I think the new den matches it in terms of loudness of atmosphere. Get along to a game. Try and get along on the 14th against Blackburn. I think that's going to be a loud occasion.
I think that's going to be rather emotional, that game. I haven't been. Yeah. I haven't been from a home game in when we got beat in that storm that ended up shutting the A13. So that was the last home game that I went to, which was just before the pandemic, sort of February time.
Yeah.
I'd missed sort of a Tuesday night. I think I was at work. So
it was a rainy night. Last time I remember coming away from then, it was a rainy night. Was it Bristol, Mike? I think I thought we'd won all draw, I thought. But it's such a long time now. It seems forever.
You can imagine Randy Crawford's going to be changing rainy night in Lonely... Rainy night in Millwall.
Rainy night in Bum.
it gives me goosebumps just thinking about it, if I'm honest. Just that kind of Saturday afternoon routine that, you know, I've got so ingrained with over the years, and, you know, going to the pub at 12, meeting your brother and a couple of mates, and then seeing some family in the ground, and, you know, just watching Millwall again, and that roar, and just seeing a lot of people in one place almost seems surreal, and being in that situation. So, yeah, I've got goosebumps just thinking about it. I can't wait to get down there.
I'm looking forward to it, I've got to say.
Do you reckon that's like Hoover or Dust missed a bye for now?
No.
Because I'd imagine he's just like redundant, isn't he? He's just sat there like he's literally just waiting. You know, there's that sort of like gif of that geezer just sat there waiting.
He was on the club podcast, we'll talk, wouldn't they? They had an interview with him. It's a good podcast, listeners, by the way. You know, we don't often mention others, rivals. We don't mention them. give them scant attention. But Wall Talk, I thought was pretty good. There's been some good ones on there. I listened to, who was it? It was
Morrison.
Yeah, the double header with Morrison. That was really good. I thought he came over really nicely out of that. I thought he had more personality, I think, than often he was given credit for by the crowd when in his heyday.
He kind of admitted that he played a role, which I think is kind of...
Yeah, I admire that. It's like a pantomime kind of, like a villain, you know, and I quite admire that. It's been a quiet summertime, boys, of business. Let's look at the good news. Matt Smith has renewed his contract. He followed our career advice, Mike, didn't he? I mean, we went to some lengths to encourage him to continue his studies and also... you know, keep this kind of part-time job he's got at the Den where he comes on for about 20 minutes at the end of a game.
Part-time football player.
Yeah, I'm a bit surprised he signed, to be honest, because I think at his age, you know, he could go and play in League One week in, week out. Yeah, but, you know, as he said himself, there's not many teams that play with a striker like him, certainly in the Championship. So if he wants to play in the Championship, probably Millwall's the only option that, you know, he's going to have. So in some respects, so I'm happy that he's re-signed. You know, I just hope it isn't an excuse not to, you know, go into the market a bit more. You know, I read Rich Corley put on something about, you know, Bod Varston's been told he can leave. So
actually, he's had a come and get him. It's normally come and get me. We've issued a come and get him.
Yeah, he's sort of sitting out with the bins just outside the Den. So if anyone wants to sort of come and pick him up, please do. But, you know, we're not going to get any money for him, I wouldn't have thought, even though he's still in contract. But, yeah, we've got to go out and get a couple of players.
You're going to get any money for him? You've got to fucking pay people for someone to take him away, man.
You've got to pay the rest of his contract.
Yeah, pay the bin men for an extra delivery. Biffler are going to pop round.
Poor old John Daddy. I bet he's a really nice bloke. But I've got this image of Zampa Fish having their kind of fish heads taken away by some professional... actor. Maybe we could put him on that or something. I don't know.
This sounds rather sort of Godfather-esque thing. Tonight he sleeps with the fishes.
I've never met John Dale, but he's a lovely bloke. Good news, Harry. Good news, permanent deal for Scott Malone. I think that's got to be good news in any Millwall fans' book. Would you agree?
Yeah, fantastic. Last season, arguably, well, he was my player of the season.
Yeah.
Just for the difference that he brought us, he gave us a bit of balance. Arguably, we got worse down the right-hand side, which I think there was other issues there going on. But you know, it would have been, if we both have been on form, we could have attacked from both wings, weirdly, which we haven't
radical.
Done for a number
That's
of
a
years.
Radical idea you've had
there. I know. But yeah, I think Scott Malone's been fantastic last season. Hopefully he continues that form into this season and takes our advice of not wearing a suit with no socks and falling out with the CBO upper.
He shaved his head as well, which was good to see last season. I was just like, yeah, that's what we want.
That's a traditional Millwall look. There's a kind of a twilight zone between good news and so-so news, which is the renewal of the contract of Alex Pearce. I mean,
that's bad news. That's just bad news.
You've dragged that email into the bad news folder on your front page there, Harry. Alex Pearce, Mike, seems to be seen as a leader, and I off the pitch in the dressing room. I haven't seen much on the pitch leadership. I mean, there were some shocking performances last season. I'm not putting those on Alex Pearce particularly, so I think his pace has left him, you know, behind him now. But I found that an odd one, given that we've let Sean Williams go and kept Alex Pearce. I mean, is that a mate thing with Rowett for you, or how do you see that?
Yeah, I mean, he was really poor when he did play last season. Do you know what it reminded me? It reminds me a bit of what Roy Keane said about Jordan Henderson in the England dressing room, where he said, what's he in the squad for? Just because he's a good card player, you know, he's not going to do anything else. And that's sort of the situation with Alex Pearce. He's a laugh in the dressing room and geez the boys up, you know, that's not what you need from a captain. A captain's about doing it on the pitch. I mean, you look at someone like Paul Robinson, who was able to do it on the pitch and the players looked up to him. If I was a player, I would. You're also looking down to Alex Pearce because he's actually pretty small for a centre-half. You know, you don't... You've got to do it on the pitch, I think. So it was a strange one. I was surprised, actually, that he's re-signed. And I think, you know, we do need to go to market for another centre-back. We were a bit naive last season. I think we only had 4 senior centre-backs and we were playing 3, you know, centre-backs a lot of the time. You know, when 1 or 2 got injured, we were a bit screwed, really. You know, Romeo ended up having to play there in the end. So yeah, we need to go in the market and get another one as well.
I think come the end of the season, when you saw Jake Cooper and Sean Hutchinson basically, you know, busting out every single bit, every sinew of energy they could to try and hold things together. And then you look at something like the Bournemouth game where it all just capitulated and you felt like, shit, this is where squad depth is needed. For me, I'm starting to sit and think that the Sean Williams release decision maybe was a bad idea. Like, I think maybe he should have stayed in some capacity, player coach, something like that. He was a player coach last year. And if he goes to another championship club or top-end League One club and smashes it, it's going to be a bit embarrassing because the squad's thin already. Mm. So, you know, for me, I think that was a bad decision.
The problem is that he loves a midfielder, but he doesn't love a ball-playing midfielder. It's very England-like, actually. We've got a lot of players that seem to pass the ball sideways, but no one that will get on it and beat a man and go past people. We had that when he first came because we had Malumbi. And we haven't really replaced Malumbi. We keep signing centre midfielders that don't really replace Malumbi. And we've got a spine that's very interchangeable, but not. I couldn't turn around and say, what is the strongest midfield pairing? I couldn't turn around and tell you, we all know the strongest centre-back pairing if we play a 4. But when we play a 3, I don't really want Alex Pearce anywhere near it. And if I'm being honest, I don't want Murray Wallace to play as a centre-back. I want Murray Wallace as a left-back when we've got a defend against a better side. But it's quite worrying that we are where we are. Aaron will know how many players throughout the championship have been released that he thinks could do a job. And the fact of the matter is, it's always for Millwall is wages. And I can only assume that it's going to cost Millwall more money to get rid of Pearce than it was to re-sign him.
I disagree with wages. I disagree because there are clubs, smaller clubs out there who are doing some phenomenal business. The fact that Luton have gone and signed Henry Lansbury and they signed Cameron Jerome, 2 freebies. You're sat there and you're like, these guys finished, what, 9th, 10th last season? Luton could make the playoffs this year. This year is going to be the most open season, in my opinion. It's going to be a free-for-all because all the clubs out there, the bigger sort of names, they've had to let go of their big hitters. You know, they've had to let go of their big earners. It's going to be a real free-for-all. And so to see someone like Luton go out and say to Henry Lansbury, you know what, you're 29-30, let's give you a chance to come and boss our midfield. If you look at their midfield as well, they've signed that lad from Motherwell, Alan someone, I can't remember.
Campbell.
Yeah.
Alan Campbell. We linked with him at one point.
Yeah. Their midfield 3, Alan Campbell, Joe Morel and Henry Lansbury. That's a good little midfield. So, you know, I worry the lack of recruitment is concerning highly right now. From my understanding, there was supposed to be some mass clear out. But then again, how can you clear out when you're playing fucking Scott Malone on the wing? The geezer's left back, you're playing him as a winger. On a side note, though, Harry, Ryan Woods has gone to the Championship. it was quite the shock when I saw he signed a 3-year deal at Birmingham, which shows that he's got no actual intentions to play professional football. But he just
wants to come and sit with Lee Bowyer in the also ran Midland seat.
I actually had a interrupting you, Harry. I had a answer phone message from our regular caller, Barry Moon. Thank you, Barry, for your call. Which I'll play now.
Hello.
Hello, Nick. Barry Moon here. I hope you're feeling a lot better. Please seem to be on the mend. Just message Harry. Harry must be dancing around his front room tonight. Ryan Woods has gone to Birmingham. He worked it. He got rid of him for us. So I don't know who he's going to pick on next season. But anyway, just thought I'd have a little laugh on that one. You know, you look after yourself. Hope to see you soon. All right, mate. Look after yourself. Bye.
Achtung, Mehlball.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
And Harry, are you dancing around the room like Barry said you would be with the departure of Ryan Woods? How do you feel?
Well, the thing for Ryan Woods, so Ryan Woods does a lot of things very well. I'm not going to take away. He's 5 yard side foot shit ass passing and not being brave enough on the ball is fantastic when you've got another player to pass to. You know what England done against Scotland? Do a lot of sideways passing, a lot of possession, not really do a lot with it. Ryan Woods is very good at that, which makes him a very good professional football player in this day and age. But, you know, this plays into Gary Rowett's style of football. Does it excite me? No. Do you get mid-table mediocrity and finish, you know, away from the relegation zone? You probably do. So from that point of view, I get it, but I want a midfielder that excites me, a Millwall midfielder who puts the tackle in, goes past someone and picks up a yellow for overextending his foot when he's going for a ball that he's run a little bit yard in front of him. That's what I prefer. I know people want us to move on as a club, and I totally get that, but I wasn't behind moving on with Ryan Woods. I think, as Aaron's already touched on, there's better options out there than Ryan Woods. And Ryan Woods, I'm presuming, demanded a fee. I mean, the side note, on my talent ID course for the PFSA, we got to speak to the head of recruitment for Swansea City, who used to be at Stoke, and they were saying, you know, I asked the question about why there seems to be an idea that in the Championship you've got to play with, now it's changing to play a midfield threes and so on and so forth, and asked the question about would, you know, would Swansea take, for instance, a Ryan Woods? And he said, no, I can't see it working at Millwall. I'm not going to name who that is. You can all Google what player that person that was. But that's to do with people's opinions. And I think Ryan Woods is a lot of money for not a lot of player. You can get a cheaper version of Ryan Woods and do, you know, wages. You can get two Ryan Woods for one, if you know what I mean.
I mean, Aaron, we're reputedly, according to, as much as you can never give any weight to these Twitter reports, we're reputedly chasing Josh Windass, that's how you say it, from Sheffield Wednesday. We had a bid rejected. I don't know whether we're ever going to be, you know, in the market for
400 grand. Welcome to 1982.
It's that, you know, that Spider-Man gif, you know, where he's pointing and he's pointing. Basically, it's skin. That's all it is.
We've had 400 refused. We've got to come back with 450 or something, I guess.
Why aren't they going and getting fucking Barry Bannon? He's the man to get out of there. Barry Bannon has freely, openly said, I ain't playing here next year. Like, yeah. I don't know if anyone's seen those comments he made where he's just basically shit. He's just shit all over him. No one's interested. No one wants to play at Sheffield Wednesday. I don't want to play at Sheffield Wednesday. Go and get him. He's on quite a wedge, apparently. He's on that sort of 27 to 30 at Sheffield Wednesday, that apparently. So whether Millwall can do something or not, I'm not sure. But Barry Bannon and Michael Kiftenbeld in midfield would be quite a good little thing. Mm. And let's be fair, Mike Haley knows this. I've got prediction, like this sort of like track record with transfers. I did predict Kieftenbeld would be one of Gary Routt's initial signings. And so I am going to say that I reckon Barry Bannon will end up at Millwall. I just have a feeling. I have this feeling. He has South London roots already. Don't forget, he played at Crystal Palace. So, you know,
we need to start.
I'd rather us go and get Malumbi. I can't see how Brighton can continually loan him out and not, you know, at some point they're going to want to cash in because he's not really kicked on. He didn't set Preston alight last season. Even if it's another season long loan, we know what he can do. If it was a purple patch, at least he's on loan and we haven't spent the money that they want to. But if you're sitting there and asking me, Is he an acquisition? Is he a different type of midfielder than we've got? I know everyone keeps harking back to Malumbi, but you can only go on what we've seen. He worked well in a Gary Rowett system, you know, in that run. You know, we've got to start.
We need to start doing some business soon, boys, don't we? I mean, it's the 24th of June today as we're recording this. When does pre-season's training start?
That next must be
week.
Next
July,
week.
I mean,
next week. Yeah. And we seem to be missing, you know, we seem to be having basically... the remains of last season's squad at the moment. I'm not one for panic, Mike. I might still have some morphine flowing through my veins, so I'm not panicking yet, mate. But soon would be nice to start seeing some incoming names.
Yeah, I mean, because I think we've actually got a lot of our business done a bit earlier in recent transfer windows. I mean, not very good business, to be said. But it is actually a bit, yeah, kind of strange. I mean, you see Malone and the keeper sign pretty much straight after the transfer window opened, and you start to think, right, here we go. And then it just goes dead for, you know, a month. You see us linked with some players, but I said on the show before, you know, you see, you know, Middlesbrough, Cardiff, oh, and Millwall are interested. I mean, you know, we don't have a chance in those sorts of players. So we've got to find a few hidden gems. And, you know, whether this European targets was absolute nonsense, we'll soon see. But,
fingers crossed. I reckon, Mike, that Alan Campbell will do very well next year. Very, very well next year. I'm just looking at their transfers that Luton made. They've signed Fred. Yeah, fine, let's not talk about that. Reece Burke, once of West Ham United, who's someone who was quite highly rated. Alan Campbell, Cameron Jerome will get him 10, 15 goals, who apparently was supposed to be at Millwall in January, by the way. But I don't know what happened there. And Henry Lansbury. That's good business, in my opinion. There are other clubs that have picked up other players as well. Clubs are doing little bits. One thing I've noticed, though, no one's making any major signings. None of these big names, the big championship names, are going anywhere. None of the ones that have been released are really going anywhere. They're just little bits. And funny enough, I was doing a bit of research ahead of today's show. Where's Tom Bradshaw? Like, no one's heard sight or sound of him. But then he's popped up. He's at Peppa Pig World today, everyone.
He was at Peppa Pig World yesterday.
How do you know this?
He's got Instagram. He's got engaged to his wife.
Has he?
Oh, yeah, nice. His girlfriend and the mother of his child. That was all on Instagram as well. Instagram is the way that you can get stalking Millwall players.
The mother of his child. God forbid his child be a bastard.
God forbid.
It's 2021, isn't it?
The other interesting is that is sort of the Millwall class of 92 are knocking about, i.e. Alfie Pavey, Thompson, Sid Nelson, and another Millwall midfielder that didn't make it. I can't remember his name, but that they seem to be knocking around. And apparently they were in London Bridge last week. I saw it knocking about and everyone ended up buying them a beer or something. I don't know, but that's very Millwall, isn't it? He's a professional football player. Send him 18 beers during pre-season. I'm sure he'll really enjoy that when he's got to run it off on the 1st of July.
I was going to say the work starts next week in that kind of, I don't begrudge anyone a beer.
I think you need a beer when you're looking at our fucking transfer business. I mean, Patterson from Bristol City, you know, Bristol City literally released 22 players. They literally got rid of a third, like literally they could have got rid of three squads by the time that they were doing their business. Just very, very weird. And the thing is, we need a goal scorer. I mean, we grind out these 1-0 wins. Like, literally, I could accept not signing anyone if we went and spent £2-4 million on a striker that was decent. But we won't do that because we know we won't do that. It's like, I have no evidence to believe that we will.
Can you imagine Can you imagine if they pulled fucking like Britt Assombalonga out the back and you're like, whoa.
He was, did I see a list where he's one of the many free agents at the moment?
Did he not let him go then? Fletcher, didn't he, as well?
Fletcher's gone. Fletcher's gone to Watford on a 5-year deal, isn't he? I mean, that's just, on a 5-year.
Is that to be loaned back to the Championship for 5 years?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Well, yeah, basically. But I mean, to see, can you imagine they pull out Assombalonga or Famara Jeje? You're sat there like, fuck Cameron Jerome, mate. I mean, Britt Assombalonga would be quite a...
Running in behind.
Or
I
Mike,
mean, he'd play right wing back, but, you know, he'd be very good.
In a five, we're playing a five. Away Mike, from home at Blackpool in January, when we're 1-0 down against Blackburn and he comes on and plays right wing back for Marlon Romeo.
Yes. Mike, instead of Assombalonga, do you think Gary Ramage looking at Isaac Alofe as the answer to our goal scoring dilemma?
Yeah, probably. I mean, scoring goals in the conference.
That's the probably. One.
We could see him. He'll probably be our third striker next season. It's strange, though. I mean, a lot of these players, like you've just mentioned, Assombalonga, Jeje, why haven't they got clubs yet? You know, they've been trying to get the best way. So maybe you'll see a little bit of flurry of business, you know, in the next few weeks, just before the season starts, when people are finalising their squads, because eventually negotiations have got to come to an end, but they're probably just taking their time, aren't they? So,
yeah,
I think that first week of pre-season, when it dawns on players that they've not got a club, that tends to be when you hear like ex-professionals on podcasts, they go, oh, I was sitting there and it was Tuesday and I thought, oh, I should be at work. Like, and you're not at work. Yeah. And then suddenly they start getting a little bit of a panic on or whatever. The other one that makes me laugh is the Abdel Melek story. A couple of seasons ago, I don't know if you remember when we had the decent youth run to the
Chelsea
FA Cup. To play Chelsea. Yeah. So apparently we never signed Abdel Melek up on a proper deal. We allowed his deal to run down before offering him a contract. And now there's two Premier League clubs interested, as well as countless other Championship clubs. And he hasn't made up his decision yet. Is that not the most Millwall
that
story?
It's the most Millwall thing I've ever heard of.
You got a 17-year-old with pace that basically last season we were all crying, why don't you give him a game? Because we can't run him behind anyone. So let's do that. We're safe. No. We're waiting until the summer. We won't give him half a chance here. We won't learn anything from Eze. What we'll do is we'll do exactly the same thing again, because that makes perfect
as it ever
sense.
Was. Same as it ever was, Harry. I mean, good, some other good news. Hayden Muller, Isaac Alofe, I've mentioned, Ryan Sandford, and two youngsters, Joe Wright and Bizarre Topolodge. I don't know if that's the correct pronunciation. Signed forms. I don't know. I've not heard of him at all. So we'll see. We don't know enough about any of those players, really, but...
Right now, Nick, it feels like the next time Millwall sign a striker for money, they'll be paying him fucking Bitcoin or something like that. And that's the boss.
Achtung, Millwall.
Euro 2021, you've mentioned England already, Harry. I mean, I don't know if I was the only one amongst us boys, but I had kind of Millwall... what's you get with LSD flashbacks? You get like England flashbacks and Millwall flashbacks, so they're like looking at the same team, aren't they? You know, sideways play. I mean, it's been a very dreary England show so far. Now, the prospect of Germany, I nearly called them West Germany, showing my age. Germany on Tuesday night. We need to find some action somewhere, Mike, don't we? You were at Wembley the other night. How was it for
you? Well, it was good. Good fun, good day out, apart from the game itself, I would have said.
Don't let the football get in the way.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those. And that is very Millwall as well, isn't it, sometimes? But yeah, I don't know. It has been very frustrating. I think we've got more talent than, you know, well, the talent isn't showing its full potential at the moment, whether it's Southgate being negative. But we just sort of look, you know, scared to lose in some regard, I think. And, you know, we've done the job. We've got through the group, but it's been pretty dull. And I just hope we've got more to give. But I think maybe that's the nature of Southgate as a manager, you know, a defender in his time. It is his style of international management, keep games tight, you know, turn on the flare when we need to, rather than really go at teams. You know, you look at the Italians, for example. I think our squad is stronger than theirs, and we've got better attacking players than them. But look at the way they're playing in comparison to us. You know, and it's a little bit disappointing as well, because a lot of the sides in the Premier League, especially if I look at Liverpool, Manchester City, you know, they play this really pressing game now, and, you know, it's exciting. And a lot of the players, you know, are in the England squad and obviously are not playing that way. And you just think to yourself, couldn't we do something a bit different here? But it's a big one against Germany. That'll be, you know, if we get significantly beaten, Southgate's going to be under a lot
of pressure.
I just want this. I'll be totally honest. I don't like the way Southgate's taken on the group stage. I feel like that was the moment to make the statement. You know, realistically, you weren't going to get knocked out of that group because you had the third place to fall back on. But now we're playing Germany. I'm totally for the Hungarian way of beating Germany that was last night, of literally playing three fast players on the break and just hit them against their aging back four or back five, whatever they decide to play. Literally, you're sitting there thinking, right, let's just bomb the thing. I mean, I'd take Kane out, and I know that's sacrilege, but I would against Germany, because there's no reason to have him there because he doesn't run in behind, and that's how teams have scored against them. So, or we'll do proper revenge for Euro 96. We'll go 0-0, just kick it anywhere, go full Jake Cooper, Hutchinson, Brexit 4-4-2, lump it long, and we'll just play for penalties.
Brexit bingo is now going to be the next thing on this show.
British Brexit, 4-4-2, 0-0 after extra time, play on penalties. We've learned lessons over every tournament, beat the Germans on penalties, and we can
parachute. I was going to say, no mention of the war, but we've got parachutes in.
parachute Paul Gascoigne into the middle of the pitch just to shout, fuck you, Germany, and then we'll all walk off. It's fine.
Aaron, I mean, I wonder whether it's the nature of these tournaments now is very long-winded. I think the Champions League group stages are going to be similar in feel. I mean, it's been overblown. You've got this kind of odd third place, best first place, which means it is very hard to fail in this competition now. How do you see? I mean, is the structure overblown? I mean, we're going to go from one extreme to the other now with sudden death football. It's talk about lurch from one extreme to the other.
For me, it's too much. It is too much. Although saying that, we're recording this on a Thursday. We've got no games 2 days. What's everyone going to do for 2 days?
Stare into space and, you know, wonder what to do with yourself. I know what you mean.
I don't know. I don't like this expanded format. I don't like the fact that all the games are played all over the shop. What happened to the days of just, you know, actually playing a tournament in one place? It would have been maybe for COVID, it's actually better. I'm not sure, because you're not sort of got cross contamination within camps and hotels and stuff. I'm not sure. But yeah, I don't know. Going back, I wanted to just drop in on the Southgate issue. I can't stand it. I actually cannot.
Don't like him. No.
Like, he makes me want to shave my eyeballs with a single blade bic. Like, the guy for me lacks ambition as a manager. He lacked ambition as a player. He had two opportunities to join Manchester United, and that one of the seasons we won the treble.
Yeah.
And the next time it was to replace Yap Stam, and he chose to go to he chose to stay at Villa and then chose to go to Middlesbrough. It's just all about it for him. Bland, bland, fucking bland. That's all. He eats boiled food, you can tell.
You called him
boiled food. There was a very
You called him the PE teacher in a suit the other day, and I felt it was literally the best analogy of him ever.
That was a very, very accurate description of him by Millwall Kev as a Palace drip. I thought that actually sums. Palace drip.
But who would you? The problem is who would replace him? Like, imagine they get beat 5-0 at home.
Gary Rowett would replace him.
Absolutely.
Exactly the same story.
I'm telling you. Do you know what? For a tournament like this, the man for the job is Jose Mourinho. He doesn't have time to do his usual bollocks of mind games. He doesn't have to set in players' heads. He doesn't have to become best mates and tell Dele Alli he smells and all that. He doesn't need to do any of that.
Dele Alli he smells?
Yeah.
Is that legit?
Needs to tactically beat teams. And in a one-off competition, Jose Mourinho would be fantastic.
There would be no flair, though, would there? We might win it.
This is one of the best squads, one of the most complete squads. In effect, can you sit there and go, well, we're weak there? Mate, we've got
the best squad since 96, 100%.
1,500 right backs, two brilliant left backs. We've got players full everywhere. I'm hearing radio stations, a commercial radio station that I don't work for, turn around and go, oh, well, do we lack creativity in midfield? Creativity in midfield? Come on, man. Come on. And for me, working obviously in this game, the most tedious task I've had to do, and the one I dread, is not like, you know, clean, you know, replacing the urinal cake at work. It's cutting a Gareth Southgate presser. It's fucking disgusting, man. For people who literally, you know, need to get on a come down or something like that. That's
you know why he's got the job, though? You know why he's got
yes,
the job?
Man. Because
the
exact reason,
yeah, absolutely. But the way that they wanted him to deal with the whole taking the knee issue, and I'm not going to dive into that any more than that, because it will just get people shouting on the internet, and we've got enough of that already. The way he done that statement.
Can I just say I'm waiting for my first Harry's a cunt of the season? But anyway,
are you waiting for it? I think it will come. I reckon it will come.
I reckon August the seventh, first game.
When we go QPR away, and I'm calling Rowett a cunt after the game, going that he has learnt none lessons from last time. We've been beaten here twice in 2 years, and 3-2 and 3-2 or whatever, and I'm calling him a cunt. Then that'd be it. But going back to the point is that Southgate sits in press conferences and goes, you know, the statement the other day, we're still learning as a group. These players have won fucking tournaments. They won La Liga. The Premier League footballers.
Mate, when he turns around about Sancho and goes, oh, there's other players that are more experienced. Did he score 20 goals last season?
Bundesliga, No slouch league, you know.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's the Farmers League. They're all Farmers League. Unless you play in the Premier League, he's not interested. Bellingham, right? How can we say, right? How can we say last season that Calvin Phillips, right, is a better midfielder than Jude Bellingham, like the way Jude Bellingham plays in the Champions League, by the way, and played against the English champions and gave him a hard time over a two-legged tie. And he goes, well, he doesn't have the experience of the big stage. What? How big do you want the stage? Was it Glastonbury? I've nearly missed all this, listeners.
I nearly wasn't here for this kind of stuff. I'm glad I'm still here for it.
I'm desperate for success. I'm desperate for England to do well. Like, I'm every game you sit there and you're like, please show me something. Just, you know, like, come on. But with him, there's no inspiration for me. There's zero inspiration. You look at someone like Roberto Mancini, yeah? Fair enough, he's won trophies. This is a guy who's taken an Italian squad, which is lacking that je ne sais quoi. In Italian.
They didn't qualify for the last tournament.
Well, I don't know what je ne sais quoi is in Italian.
No, I don't know. I'm just thinking that, but we'll come back to that.
Nick, you didn't do Italian. You did metal work.
I didn't.
You know,
I didn't do that either.
Ashtray first year, Fram the second year.
But there's no star player in there, yet he's getting a tune out of him. Frank de Boer, the worst manager the Premier League has ever seen. Yes, they're defensively ropey, but he's getting a tune out of Holland. Yes, we've qualified for the knockout stage. I'm not convinced, though,
The thing is, though, if we do beat Germany, and it's a big if, but if we did beat Germany, the road to the final is unbelievably simple, which is exactly what happened last time. And everyone is forgetting the fact that, like, Sweden are better than they were 3 years ago. And literally, that Isaac will have John Stones on toast, because he should have scored already.
It's the hope that kills us. Let's close our show with the very bizarre punishment meted out to Derby County today. And strangely, Wycombe Wanderers are also dragged into this, because Derby, through not submitting accounts in the correct way, I think it's probably the simplest way we can put it.
Libel, redacted.
But they've been required, they've been given a fine, and they've been required to resubmit said accounts. Whilst a double fixture list has been published with Derby and or Wycombe, who may or may not be relegated, depending on whether Derby can come up with some accounts that conform with EFL regulations. I think that's the most diplomatic way I can put it.
That is a fucking shambles.
It's a shambles because, okay, I mean, Derby may or may not have committed some offence, but Wycombe don't know whether they're playing the Championship.
They don't know whether they've got Nottingham Forest or not. That's it, yeah.
Which is a form of punishment on an innocent club, because you've got to plan, you've got to get your budget, you've got to plan your coach. Where's the coach going? Is it going to Morecambe, or is it going to go to Derby? I don't know where their first game is.
Not being fair, we didn't like Fred, but they've sold Fred presumably under the budget of
on the League One basis.
Yeah. That's right. And so how is that fair on Wycombe? This is why Derby should have been relegated last season.
It's totally
if they'd done this, they should have just been relegated. It's just ridiculous.
Mike, I mean, that's got to be, I don't know, it's almost cruel and unusual punishments, isn't it? Mm. You know, on Wickham.
Well, I think it's based off the fact, I think, if the Football League wants to then, call for a points deduction, I think. So, the thing that fucks me off about these, it just takes months and months to sort these things out. And then by the time, you know, they actually get there, whether it be a fine or points deduction, it should have happened before. And I think that's the case with like Derby last season, that, you know, that's when it should have happened and they should have just been relegated there and then. But, you know, they were cleared of obviously breaching financial fair play, but now they've been, you know, fiddling with their accounts and some things going on. So, maybe you want to have a look again at the breaching of financial
fair play. Am I the only person that thinks that maybe Millwall should invest in this guy, whoever does the Derby account?
Yeah.
The accountant seems to be their most valued player. They seem to shit ass their way.
Honestly,
through all of this.
I'll tell you what, my biggest concern for next season is if we can get promoted again, I've got to make sure that my tweets say chair boys rather than autocorrecting to choir boys. That's a very unfortunate nickname they've got there. Very unfortunate, you know. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if anyone wants to see. Do you want to see them back in the Championship?
Wickham, not particularly, but it seems unfair on them. I mean, this was all put out at 11:30 last night. I mean, who does this?
A day before the fixtures, not even like a day after the season.
Amateur hour. I mean, I despair.
I'd say. Obviously, we're recording this on Thursday. You can get it on Patch Up, but one of our pals, Nick's a regular on his show twice a season when Millwall play Derby. Ed Dawes from BBC Radio Derby is having like a call in tonight at 6 o'clock. That's going to be a real fascinating listen, because look, them guys at Radio Derby, they know their shit. So like they're very clued up with what's going on. And so if you want a bit more on it, get it on BBC Sounds. It's going to be a real good show. And it'll be quite interesting to listen to like a Derby point of view and actually sort of like an insight as to what is going on. Because the question is now, how long is this going to last? Because there's going to be an appeal on appeal, 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 appeal. Yeah. Are we going to get to the eve of the season where we're sat there going, well, Derby may be at XYZ tomorrow, or they might be
at Morecambe.
Exactly. They might be going to Morecambe instead. We haven't got a clue.
Shouldn't they just have let's be honest, you know, remember back when Luton got put into administration, they lost 30 points, you know, and it basically relegates you straight away. At this point, there's no real, and it's not fair because the fixture on the last day of last season, teams could have gone for different results, needing different points, needing things. And this is why it should be done. It's not fair on those clubs either. Like, it's just ridiculous. I mean, that last game against, what was it, Sheffield Wednesday, it was live on Sky, and I watched that rather than watching Millwall, because, I mean, we were 5-0 down by the time the second half kicked off or something.
That wasn't good.
That wasn't good.
I've forgotten that. I've erased it from my memory, Eric. Thank you
for that. Yeah, it's all right. I was hearing a thing on the Guardian football podcast about recency bias, that all our decisions are made by what's happened recently. Isn't that what football's based on?
I'm gonna remember that
recency
one.
Recency bias, you know. And recently, Millwall have conceded quite a lot of goals. That seemingly is the thing.
Recency bias at Millwall, gentlemen. I think we've reached the end of our list of items. Mike, thank you for taking time joining us today. I really appreciate it, mate.
Thank you very much, Nick. Yeah, my pleasure.
And Aaron, same as. Thank you. Good to see you again, mate.
Nick, thank you. Just a special, guys. Husky Chocolate have got a lot of outdated stock coming to the end of the day, at the end of the month. So it's really cheap. Go on their website, it's like £6 a case, just a heads up. But it all expires like next week. So
you've got to drink it fast.
Very, very nice.
Off of all that stuff, listeners. I can't be drinking it.
Very nice if you put it over ice. And putting a couple of measures of brandy and make yourself a La Bamba, ladies and gentlemen.
Good to see you, Harry. Enjoy your working day, mate.
Yes, I'm about to go and make these dirty diesels that Sadiq Khan doesn't like. Which every one time that I do up a bowl, I feel very like a catharsis, and as if to go, fuck you. It's very much like that.
Thank you for listening, dear listeners. We'll be back probably pre-season, I guess, when hopefully there's a little bit of news and a plethora of top names signing for Millwall. Until then, from all the chaps today, arrivederci Millwall, and bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Aston Millwall. If you enjoyed the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a cheeky little review.
Matter of Ejection Rule. Till next time.
Who do you want to watch?
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.